This is the CPC Podcast, episode 10 for October 7th, 2018, Hopeful Vision. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. This week on the pod, Reverend Timothy Reeves fills our pulpit again. For those unfamiliar, Reverend Reeves is the minister at First Presbyterian Church in Stuttgart, Arkansas. In church news this week, members are reminded that our annual harvest luncheon will be on October 14th after worship. Our annual trunk or treat event will be on October 27th at 5 p.m. We'll have a bounce house, candy, and hot dogs. We hope to see everyone there. The Central Scene newsletters hit inboxes this week. If you haven't received your copy and would like to sign up, it only takes about a minute. If you head to our website, centralprespb.com, click on the newsletter sign-up link at the top of the homepage, and we'll get you taken care of. This is your weekly reminder that we are on all the best social media platforms. Just look for our username, centralprespb. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Reverend Timothy Reeves.
Given the level of acrimony and vitriol, of suspicion and rage that have plagued our country since the nomination of now Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh, I felt it prudent this week to step away from the lectionary texts to proclaim a message that is as timely now as it has ever been. We cannot do anything about the anger, the hatred, the vile things that other people say and do. But we have a great deal of control over how we, as the people of God, are to relate to one another and to everyone else. And so it is that I came across a modern-day parable that I want to share with you all. It's written by Lawrence Castagnoli and was published in 1982. The parable is called The Rainbow People. Once upon a time, in a beautiful meadow, there lived at the bottom of a great mountain a people simply called the Greens. They wore green clothes, they drove green cars, they lived in green houses, and they believed that God was green. At the top of the mountain lived another people named the Blues. Can you guess why they were called Blues? They were blue. They drove blue cars, they lived in blue houses, they wore blue clothes, and they believed God was blue. But here's the thing, Greens and Blues never spoke to each other. They hated each other. Green parents taught their children to say, green is happy, blue is sad. Green is good, blue is bad. Blue parents taught their children to say, blue is happy and green is sad. Blue is good and green is bad. So the Blues and the Greens grew up hating each other, distrusting each other, and viewing each other as bad and sad. But they didn't really bother to take time to know one another. Some Blues went their entire lifetimes without ever talking to a Green. They didn't know each other because they stayed far, far away from them. They went to their own separate churches, their own separate schools, their own separate social functions. But it happened one day that a Green father and his young son were out in the meadow and they saw a Blue boy flying a kite. And the Blue boy saw the Green father and son and panicked and ran back toward the mountain, but in doing so, he tripped, sprained his ankle, and fell to the ground neither able to stand or to walk. The green boy turned to his father and said, "Dad, let's help him." But his father said, "No. Don't you remember what your mother and I have taught you? Green is happy, blue is sad, green is good, blue is bad." But the boy said, "Dad, how do we know this blue boy is bad? All I know is that he has sprained his ankle and needs someone to help him get back home." But when he said this, his father turned to him saying, "Blue is the color of the devil. God only loves green. Our religious teaches us to help only our own kind. I want you to do as you were told." So they walked back home and left the boy unattended. A few weeks later, this same green boy was out in the same meadow playing with his pet rabbit, and the rabbit got away from him, and so he began chasing the rabbit through the tall grass and winding trails of the meadow. And just as he was about to catch the rabbit, it jumped down a small cliff, and the boy went headlong after it and caught his leg between two huge rocks. No matter how hard he pushed or pulled, he just could not get himself free. And he called for help, hoping that some green would come along, but to his chagrin, no one did. And then he looked up, and standing over him with a huge stick in his hand was the same blue boy who had sprained his ankle. "Please," the green boy begged, "don't hurt me." The blue boy chuckled and said, "I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you." And with that big stick, he pried the rocks away from the boy's leg. He tore his blue shirt and made a bandage to bandage the severe cuts. He picked him up and let the green boy lean on him as he walked him safely back to his home. And when the green boy's father saw his son tied with the blue cloth, he cursed his boy. "I don't care if you were injured," he said. "You shouldn't have let a blue touch you." And he grounded his son for a month, little knowing that his son would sneak out every day when he was supposed to be in his room and go to the land of the blues, searching for that blue boy to say thank you. Every place he went and knocked on a door, the door was slammed in his face. Taunts were screamed at him. Children threw rocks at him. But undeterred, he continued his search until one day he knocked on a door and there stood the blue boy. And the green said, "I've been looking for you and wanted to thank you." He also noticed with some surprise that the door was not slammed in his face, but rather the blue boy welcomed him inside and gave him something to eat and drink. And as he was preparing something to eat and drink, the green boy noticed that the blue boy was not just wearing a blue shirt anymore. It was now a blue and green striped shirt. And so he asked him about that. "Won't the other blues throw rocks at you when they find out that you are wearing green as well as blue?" "I don't care." "Well, why?" "Because the day I helped you and tore up my blue shirt and made a splint for your leg, I figured that in that moment, you became a part of me, and I became a part of you. In helping you and talking with you, I came to see that both green and blue are good. I don't care what others think. It's right to help people whether they are blue or green. And the two boys became close friends. They visited each other and made up a new song, which they taught to other blue and green children. Green is good, and so is blue. Purple, yellow, and red too. All the children should be glad. There is no color that is bad. And little by little, more and more children, green and blue, started visiting each other. They began going to other schools and churches. They even went beyond their own lands and embraced the purples and the reds and the yellows. And after a while, no one called themselves greens or blues. They simply called themselves rainbow people. And to this day, their children sing, "There is no color that is bad." How appropriate. On this day, when we hear a profound truth from Galatians, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And perhaps that great truth finds no deeper expression than on this World Communion Sunday. For on this day, Christians all over the world have gathered, are gathering, or will gather around the Lord's table and celebrate the wondrous truth that God's grace and love have made us one. We don't look alike. There may be differences in our theologies. The songs we sing may be unrecognizable to others. We may preach in unfamiliar languages. Our worship may take place indoors, outside, in great cathedrals, or behind prison walls. But today, for all the differences we have, we as the body of Christ come together. We unite around broken bread and a poured out cup, and proclaim a common faith in the Lord who has been so gracious to us all, who is both the source of our life and all that makes us unique, and also all that makes us one. Around the Lord's table, we are not Presbyterians or Lutherans or Methodists or Baptists or Pentecostals or Catholics. We are not liberals or conservatives or moderates. We are not Republicans or Democrats. We are not pro-life or pro-choice. Around this table, we are Christians. Plain and simple. Around this table, we come not as worthy recipients, but as unworthy yet invited guests, welcomed and received by a gracious God. Around this table, we are all viewed in the eyes of God as a priceless treasure and an irrepeatable miracle. Around this table, the distances we want to push between us and others are torn down as God, in and through the Holy Spirit, unites us and says, "You are mine. I have chosen you, all of you, each of you." Around this table, at the foot of the cross and in the waters of baptism, we claim no other label for ourselves than that as child or children of God. And perhaps around this table, we dare to dream and believe in that beautiful vision of peace proclaimed and foreseen by the prophet Isaiah as more than simply wishful thinking, but looking forward genuinely to that day when the wolf shall indeed lie down with the kid, and the leopard, or the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. On World Communion Sunday, we envision a table big enough, a love broad enough, and a Lord gracious enough to host everyone in the world. We give voice to the hopeful vision that we have that even though it remains elusive now, there will be a day when at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth shall bend and every tongue shall confess him Lord to God's honor and glory. On this World Communion Sunday, we in the Church of Jesus Christ are reminded in very tangible ways that ours is not the responsibility of treating those with whom we disagree as wretched and hopeless individuals, but rather it is our great privilege to share with all the forgiveness, the wholeness, the acceptance, and the life in abundance that our Lord shares with us. As we taste and see that the Lord is indeed good, we are reminded that we are not sent into the world to tell them how bad they are, but instead how loved we all are. But I'm also aware that on this World Communion Sunday, I and you live very much in the real world. And so, tomorrow, if not later today, many in Christ's church, after having gathered around the table, will conveniently set aside that experience and resort back to those old divisions, that same distrust, that same self-righteousness that is quick to find and point out in other people the bad and the ugly. For all our talk on this day about unity in Christ, there will be many who will resort once again to name-calling and petty divisions because others do not share the same points of view as they do. Just moments after walking away from this table, we will know that we still live in a country very much divided by partisan politics. We live in a country that is still, today marking the 17th anniversary, at war in Afghanistan. We still live in a world where the weak and vulnerable are preyed upon by the powerful. We still live in a world where people hate indiscriminately. We can't do anything about that. But we have every means to control how we relate to those who act that way. Which is why we are called to cling to this hopeful vision manifest in this day. Hope is our way of saying, in the midst of all the pain and sorrow and hatred and division and loneliness and apathy in this world, that God has a plan for us. And that plan is a new heaven and a new earth where nothing accursed shall be found. Hope is asserting in the face of all of this nastiness, a beauty and love and self-sacrifice and peace which says we belong to one far greater than any president or senator or congressman or justice. We belong to one who gave all that we might be filled with all. It's living the not yet completely fulfilled promises of God as if they have already been realized that we as a people of God are called to do. It's trusting that God's will is unfolding according to God's sovereign plan in spite of what we do or say. It's realizing that we do not complete or indeed usher in this peaceable kingdom, but we are privileged to participate in the sharing of peace with others when all they want to do is stir up more hatred. There will come a day, and I hope that day is soon, when all Christians will not refer to themselves by denominations, will not refer to themselves by political or theological ideologies, will not refer to themselves by the countries in which they live. But like the rainbow people themselves, will refer to each other simply as children of God. And to God be all the honor, glory, and praise forever. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Timothy Reeves, and we look forward to having him back next week. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please take a minute to subscribe. We are on Apple Podcasts, we're also on Google Play, and we're in the Stitcher app. Leave us a review as well. It helps people find us. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. I hope you have a great week.